Right from the same piece of land, but also to what extent would that additional right go to what extent? It could be a minor, you know, additional right. Do I have to be compensated for that?
This is
just that I'm not sure how best to formulate it, but it is the degree of attention to really be taken into consideration with the issue.
I think, Chairperson, here is where those references to the Constitution and the courts, etc., come in.
Yeah.
That if I, landowner, and Infraco don't agree on the value, we can go to court.
My immediate response is Peter's presentation is accurate and seems to be. If that is right, I mean, we have to pay additional land. So we said there's an issue about whether it's significant enough for the compensation. In which case, the cost is right. See, because there was significant additional right, but what does significant mean in law? So I think my own feeling is that we should leave it as it is. And unless people are disagreeing, I'd like to kick it off. I don't know if we can go coach here. Because I don't think we've got much time now. And this letter is really something that we should resolve here. I don't think anybody else wants to speak. I'm not worried that members of the committee are so outraged by non-members who are speaking. But I think members need to be reminded that they have speaking rights in this committee.
Honorable Nongoma.
I mean, I think the issue is it's a little bit complicated. Why are we still listening? And also, it indicates that there was a deadlock in that country. We thought they were going to come back with a simple hand, but now they came back with two answers. We have to choose one. So, but I think the presentation that Peter is making, I think it is deserved, because the doctor would want to deserve support.
No, then, what was? You agree that it is not the same to be done?
Can I maybe just add, I think, we look at 25E because what the law guided us was just focus on expropriation. 25.3, no one may be deprived of property in second sense of law and general application. When it goes on, 3, the amount of compensation and the time and manner of payment must be just and equitable, reflecting an equitable balance between the public interest and the interest of those affected, having regard to all relevant circumstances, including the current use of property, the value of the property, personal expropriation, etc., etc.
Can we take it off and go to section 363D?
This is a 7-7 law from the right? So what you change to
8-7, so it now becomes 7-7.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
They need to play.
Yes, it will change.
But if you take it off again,
6-3-E, and let them go study and to be familiar.
No issues. Can you go to section 4? EPE seems to be new.
This is really green, is that right?
Yeah.
Yes, and our apologies. As a matter of order, we were out of order here. But let me explain the background to this. It's the rationale behind proposing this provision is similar to the principle in I was explaining that the principle or the rationale behind it is very similar to the principle in 7.8, which provides that the right of expropriation will no longer apply if the state is no longer the majority shareholder in Infraco. What we want to provide for in 6.4 is that should the state enter into one or more transactions for the transfer of the assets or shares of Infraco, as we have provided in 4.4, then the right to extend additional rights will also fall away. And that's what we've provided in 4.4.
You know, I just have a habit where I look at all the clauses and every word, every line, every comma, every full stop, when I say something like this. Now, 6.4 does not stand alone. I need to say that. It does not stand alone. It's not been put in there so that it's just thrown in there because we couldn't put it anywhere. 6.4 is a part of 6, the servitude. Now, can I just look at that interesting 6.4 here? You see, a servitude of Eskom is automatically one of the infra-term claims and assets. Nobody accepts that. When I were to read that claim, in the light of 6, and in the light of 6.2 particularly, and then you say, look here, hold it down. All the servitude and additional rights in favor of infra-term at the time of transfer in terms of 4.4 can't be extended in terms of 6.2. What does that mean? The question of compensation raises it even more forcefully in 6.4 than it does in 6.3.
Some of the members didn't capture it very well.
Okay.
If I may just clarify, everything that is, keep in mind we're talking about different points in time. We're talking about a possible event, let's say in 10 years' time. Everything that existed as a right of Infraco at that point in time is recognized, it's paid for, and it's transferred. Otherwise, no one would be interested in buying Infraco. The point is the right to further extend what exists at the date of transfer to a third party, it will not be transferred to a third party. In other words, the rights that Eskom and Transnet are now giving us to extend will not be available to a third party if it's not the state. That's essentially what we want to provide in 4.4, and which we believe is provided for in 4.4. You will note that it's existing in favour of Infraco at the time of transfer to a third-party transferee. So what we have paid for will continue to be recognised. If there's a further extension, if a third party at another point in time wants to come back and say, what Infraco had at the time that you transferred it to us, not enough, you want more, then Eskom and Transnet should not necessarily be obliged to extend. That doesn't mean to say that commercially they can't approach Eskom and Transnet, but Eskom and Transnet will not necessarily be obliged to extend those rights.
I disagree fundamentally. And I'm sorry to put it so strongly, we call it, and I don't like saying it, but I have read the document.
and my colleague over there refers to clause 4.4, which talks about the transfer date and what happens on that transfer date. It talks about various things belonging to the state. Well, we just got it. Then 6.4, and I'll read it for the benefit of the committee. All servitude and additional rights existing in favor of Imperial at the time of transfer in terms of section 4.4. That's the section I've just referred to. That would include a servitude. Okay? Shall continue to exist in favor of the transferee. The transferee is Imperial. Okay. Subject to such terms and conditions as have been agreed upon between Infracode and ESCOM or Transnet. In other words, it's assumed even though Transnet isn't mentioned in clause 4, it's ESCOM. This section presupposes that there would have been a transfer from Transnet as well to Infracode prior to the transfer of the transferee, and then comes the problematic provider. Provided that any such transfer shall not be entitled to extend such servitude as provided in 6.2 of the Act, and the transferee is Infraco. In other words, you're saying to Infraco. On the one hand, in 6.1, we say, for the purposes of the section servitude means, then we say, with under 6.2, with effect from the transfer date, the servitude is extended, but now we're saying to them, hold it, guys. You, Infraco, can't extend as provided for in section 6, bracket 2. What that means is the transferee must go and renegotiate with Transnet and ESCOM and other landholders an extension of the servitude. I'm taking the language of this. Now I understand what DPE is trying to achieve by putting this in. But then this wording must change very dramatically. In fact, you're not just going to have one additional set of compensation paid over and above, as I've already explained. This thing I need to suggest, you're going to pay even more. I know DPE will disagree with me, I'm basing it just on the wording of this.
Can I just clarify something? This transfer is not when Interco transfers to another person.
That's what I thought you said. I'm not understanding that.
What are we talking about? Who is the transfer?
The transfer?
It's the third party.
Meaning, let's say,
intercommunication.
Then, the meaning you give the transfer is Infraco. I understood it to mean something
other party. Yeah.
So now, does it become fine if transfer is understood to be Peter, Ritzer, and the Gumla and company?
Yes, we could, for purposes of clarity, we could introduce a third party transferee.
Will that help then? Because
it is confusing because you're talking about transfer at the time, and then you immediately
have to
transfer.
I'm
okay with third party transfer.
No, Chief.
Let me be quite clear. Can you also come with a proposal? I'm
sitting in this committee meeting. I am the chief special advisor. I'm a lawyer, and I'm trying to assist this committee. And clause 6 deals with servitudes which will accrue or be transferred to Infraco. It talks about that. Now, in 4, we're suddenly introducing, it seems, a new concept saying if Infraco wants to sell, you can't extend. So what happens if that thing had already been extended in accordance with 6.2 and Infraco then sells? Whoever it sells to, as I've already explained, has the right to use that servitude in any way.
That's the restriction that only applies as long as
I listened very carefully, consistent, and I heard Sandra explain that, and I've read the thing in fact. It goes through my head at night when I'm sleeping, because it's been so and I am familiar with it, but it seems to me that leaving it there means we've got to read clause 6.4.
How can we get subject to 6.4?
I don't know. I don't know what you're trying to achieve. I don't know. Because it seems to me we're either trying to protect Eskom and Transnet or something and say to them, well, if they extend it with the new owner, they get it. But it may already have been extended. I don't know.
There is a policy issue of this committee for people who require the word. The policy issue of this committee, we are unanimous with the ANC, but obviously the DA and the IFP would disagree. Our view is that a sense of enterprise in general, but particularly in this context, has certain values over and above those of a private enterprise, but in a way that's consistent with the market economy that we are in. Now, if you sell a section of Infraco 10 years from now, whoever buys it, Cozoan and this company, they can't be entitled necessarily to the same rights as Infraco as a stable fund. That is the policy. But then we have to take into account fairness, the market economy, legal challenges, and so on. But as I understand what Pierre ends up saying, it is simply saying, and maybe if that's not what it's saying, then we need to sort it out. It's simply saying, if you sell to some private company, that private company will get all the servitudes that already exist in InfraCo as applied to the part that is sold of InfraCo. But then, it is not entitled in the way a state-owned company is to extend in respect of property of another state-owned company. That right is only reserved for a state-owned company. And if that's the case, unless I'm misunderstanding the mood of my colleagues here, because I don't see any colleagues here, then that is our position. Isn't that the position for me to take? If it's a legal problem about discrimination and the market and all, then you must set up
your question. One step further, I think that if you have a private sector country, you shouldn't be at more advantage than the other private sector.
Yeah, okay.
It's consistent, isn't it? Then we're going
to just clarify. I just want to clarify something. It is important that we clarify the policy issues and then we, you know, make it easier for the lawyers to come in.
You see, it's similar to this expropriation right. That expropriation right that the minister has will only apply in the case of a state-owned company. If you sell it for coal, hopefully not, then that will follow it. And you've got it there by saying your section only applies. So I think if that's what you say, then the policy issue is clear. It may be there are legal problems, which is how much to sort out the legal problems.
I concur with you. If we get your policy guidance, it's a matter of us ensuring that the legal language speaks to that. Let me just say that I think the insertion of third-party transferring would add to clarity. Let me also indicate to you that we're talking about at the time of transfer of a transaction in terms of 4-4. A transaction in terms of 4-4 is a by nature a transaction that occurs after the transfer date to Infraco. It cannot it doesn't coincide. It anticipates a future transfer date after the transfer date.
And I think you're right. The servitude that Infraco would have got would go.
It would go to the third party.
But any additional right
exactly
that applies to Infraco will not apply to that third party.
Yes.
We agree.
Yes.
That's our position.
Yeah.
Now, Enver's unhappy, so you know, we almost thought that out. Okay. But the policy issue, I think, and I think Enver is private sector, knowing who he is, he's going to agree with the policy issue, hopefully. Otherwise we might
maybe when I was dreaming about Infraco in the middle of the night, your policy was some people dream and others make policy. quite seriously. Building on the policy issue, if that right has already been transferred to Infraco,
And Imprico wants to transfer to a third party transferee to use Sandra's network. Then I don't know how you can then take that right away, because if you read again the whole of 6 of 6, it says the following. That you extend that right, and I've already explained that maybe those rights are already in the servitude, but I'm not going to repeat that ever again in this meeting, unless I'm asked to specifically by the chairperson. And so it's there, so in other words, you're saying there's a lot of other things you can do. And if that infringes on the property rights of the owners, then clause 6.3 kicks in. You can't take that away and then state in the bill, you're going to transfer. We've extended that right to you, you've been to the extent, and now you take it away. How does it happen practically? Let me use a concrete example. You have a servitude to build a house on my property. Okay? Or say a pipeline, but I can build a couple of things. And I build a house for the caretaker. And so that's the extension. And I pay compensation for that. Are you then saying that I must demolish the house?
No.
But that's what you're saying.
Well, I'd like to add something about any further additional or whatever. Sort it out. Look, basically, it's a toilet.
No, please come in.
We
need to come here. Shall I put you guys up in misery? I'm just trying to finish a doctorate by the 30th of November.
Yeah.
And I'm taking off some leave so that in an uninterrupted way I can finish that doctorate. So there's more now that I'm trying to do, but I'm going to be safely ensconced in my house in Gita, but just out of the road here. I'm not leaving the country.
But get out of your question if that's the case.
Shouldn't you wait to get your PhD before you go to the
just
on the principle of economy of scale, you know, the putting three legal minds together may either be much worse or my eyes.
At least
you can try that with us. So we're very comfortable with receiving further comments. But can I just suggest that last night the luncheon on my team met with Mr. Melissa from the Statutory Advisors as well, in order to go through a process of cleaning up. If we can get proposals, there's a lot of debate as to how it doesn't meet requirements, but can we get proposals to expedite? Because I'm also aware that you are the time constraints.
Yeah, and we want proposals from the support team.
We must ensure that we do that before the first midnight, before it is. Let's go to, with that we just keep it hanging until that time. Let's go to section 7. TV.
Yeah, I think there was nothing from outside but a matter of cross-referencing, so I think we need to get the advice from the parliamentary legal officers.
Seven two is characterized with the notice of a corporation. Seven two deals with the notice of expropriation.
Okay. Member,
Can we take it off? 7-1 and 2. 7-3 already kicked off. 7-4 we already done with unless there are new issues raised. 7-5 there was also the cross reference.
Okay, the other topic, except from 18 to 23.
From 18 to 23.
Yeah, the other thing has been adopted. Okay. Within the previous.
Are they relevant to this clause? Yes. They are, you check the case. They've been asked to 25-3 is the correct reference for the Constitution in that case. Subject to section 25-2, it doesn't refer to 25-3. So it's the correct reference process, 25-2.
25-2, it deals with the amount of compensation. And also, it just said that it should be decided and approved by a court of law.
Can I just bring something related here? ESCOM on page 3, 7.8, says something about grant of right to expropriate to Infraco. Why did they say that? Do you remember about that? And they also said the provision of section 12.5 of the Expropriation Act should be included. ESCOM says that what you list out in your bill is the provision of section 12.5 of the Expropriation Act should be included. Whether that applies, they're using the old version of the bill.
You raised the issue earlier on in terms of registered and unregistered, right? It's in 7.
Oh, it's part of 7. Yeah. And that's an earlier version of the bill. I don't think you had it then. So you've already agreed to that. Good. Then the final thing is, there's something about
7.8.
Yes,
finally.
Oh yeah, if you look at page 3 of basics, right? Let's go. Clause 7-8, this is the old version of the book, and very much. This provision should be reviewed. If land is required for public purposes, then a right to expropriate should be granted to the provider of the public service. Is that covered?
That's covered.
Yeah, so we don't need that. Okay, thank you. Answer it.
Thank you. 7-6.
The issue of compensation, say, so it is relevant, the same thing, same breath of that.
All that is taken, the 12.5 is correct, what do you think for the... And let's go to section 8. Section 8-1 agreed. 8-2 agreed. 8-3 agreed. 8-4
just one thing, 3-8.
Correct to say, they wanted. The last time said, probably something having air share capital. What do you say, share capital? Air share capital. Okay, thank you.
8-4, 8-5, 6-3
of the company.
Just I checked the provisions of the company tax refers to
The third is required.
Okay.
Number.
I just summed it up, Chair, in paragraph 5 of my paper. All the clauses that are in the company side that have been referred in the bill.
No, my colleague is asking, are you sure?
No, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Oh, you must not think. You look at the question. You're
not allowed to think. It's funny.
Was agreed. 8-7. What the cost of sentence?
Which is relevant? It's still relevant, Chair, for the establishment of the private shareholding company, the private share company. All those issues raised there are relevant.
Can you
add
on your document the section 344?
This was the 344 or the 344? This is 344G of the company section.
Can I just use a little reminder? Why is it 25% in Finland? Is there any specific reason for that? Is it a corporate governance norm or something? It's just a matter of interest.
The reference to 75% is particularly because of the it's actually a requirement from the Registrar of Companies in terms of the exemption. In other words, we're securing an exemption here, and the norm applied thus far for applying the exemption is 75%.
Very good.
Section 9.
Section 9.
There was the issue of 8M.
Yeah,
which. It has been changed.
Yes, we've changed that.
Agreed. Section 9 entire.
Section 10.
Regulation. 10A. There is a section 7 there, Sandra.
I believe that reference is correct. We've changed it.
Yeah, that's correct. 7B, agreed. For 30,
no comment, no submission.
Amendment, section 11.
Yeah, can I just read something? Yeah, I reported back. Of the subcommittee meeting. But basically, can we just table in this meeting in 5 minutes or so? Can we just take us through for the committee and for the public to know that there are differences between Schedule 3B and 2? And this committee is still applying to my issue. And I think that Sandra tabled a document yesterday, which those of us who have seen take an excellent summary. Can you in 5 minutes or so, I think members of the public are here, so they can have copies of it. Just tell us the differences in a nutshell between 3B and 2. You speak to the document you put it.
Chair, let me just start off by saying that in terms of the Public Finance Management Act, shareholder oversight is and particularly risk management is exercised both in relation to approvals that have to be acquired before an enterprise can do it, as well as through certain reporting requirements ex post facto to ensure that the implementation is in accordance with the approvals given, and also to track trends of risk management. Now, the important point to make is that the reporting requirements between of a Schedule 2 entity and a Schedule 3B entity are in large measure the same. The only material difference between the reporting requirements of a Schedule 2 and a 3B entity relates to the regularity of reporting on cash management. Now, the members of the Portfolio Committee will be aware of the fact that the reporting requirements that apply to Schedule 2 entities and 3B entities include the corporate plan, the quarterly reports, the requirement to get Section 54(2) approval for significant material transactions, etc. All of that applies to both. So, going to Eunice's point, what exactly then are the differences between Schedule 2 and 3B if most of the reporting requirements are exactly the same? First of all, in the case of a Schedule 2 entity, a company has by nature borrowing powers in terms of the Companies Act. But the PFMA prescribes that the borrowing powers of a Schedule 2 entity may be exercised through the board. It's called the accounting authority in terms of the PFMA. The board of that company may take the decisions on what borrowing may be undertaken. It's not just borrowing, it's also guarantees, indemnities, securities, but also, very importantly, any other transaction. For instance, a transaction to enter into agreement with Nayotel. Those decisions can be taken by the board, and that is traditionally the case with most companies. In the case of a Schedule 3B, the PFMA provides that the board may, the company may only borrow through its board if authorized by the Minister of Finance by notice in the Gazette, and only subject to terms and conditions determined by the Minister of Finance. So, in other words, Schedule 3B company's board is subject, may not get the delegation of power from the Minister of Finance, and so the Minister of Finance will take those decisions on its behalf, or if being given the mandate to borrow or enter into these agreements, is still subject to terms and conditions by the Minister of Finance. It is important to realize in relation to that it's not just borrowing but also other transactions that the Schedule 3B entity requires prior approval, one, and whatever the Minister of Finance has approved is published in the Gazette. In a commercial context, it's potentially constraining. The second important difference between the two is that the Minister of Finance can regulate the borrowing of money on behalf by a Schedule 3B entity. So it's an approval, it's terms and conditions, and even if that approval is given, there may be further regulations prescribing the way in which that borrowing or transaction may be executed. Those restrictions don't apply to a Schedule 2 entity. So, in short, just in terms of borrowing, powers, powers to give guarantees, performance guarantees, for instance, in terms of a contract, entries into a contract for a transaction. In the case of the Schedule 2, it's closer to what any other private company would have, the board, the authority of the board, whereas in the case of the 3B, it's constrained. Then there are restrictions in relation to cash management, or prescriptions in relation to cash management, which are different. These, basically, in the case of the Schedule 3B, as I mentioned before, it requires a more regular reporting to the Ministry of Finance as to the ways in which cash management is done and the status of cash flow in these entities. in the case of a Schedule 2 entity, cash flow management is not absent. It's a responsibility in terms of the PFMA for the board to determine the framework of cash management. Whereas in the case of a 3B, the Minister of Finance determines that framework and not the board. But it remains an obligation of the board to determine or prescribe a framework for cash management. Other examples of differences is that in terms of Section 14 of the Act, the Minister of Finance may not directly access the accounts or deposits of a Schedule 2 entity because it has no right of access to it. But in the case of a Schedule 3B entity, the Minister of Finance could withdraw money from a 3B entity's account. It cannot do that in the case of Schedule 2. Then there are different requirements on a Schedule 3B entity as opposed to Schedule 2 entity with regard to triple P, public private partnership type of contracting. I don't think it's that material to this situation, but these are also some of the differences. The final very key difference also between a Schedule 2 and a 3B entity is that, again, a 3B entity may not enter into a financial lease transaction with someone else through its board unless authorized to do so by the Minister of Finance, whereas a Schedule 2 entity can do that. In summary, the most significant differences between a Schedule 2 and a 3B entity is that the financial and investment decisions of a Schedule 3B entity are taken by the Minister of Finance unless he has delegated that to the board, which raises the question, what is the role of the board? And also raises the question of what is the role of the Minister of Public Enterprises insofar as the Minister of Public Enterprises in terms of Section 63 of the PFMA has the responsibility of determining the financial policies of the state-owned enterprises that he's responsible for. But the nub of it is that a 3B has to first obtain approval from the Minister of Finance before it can borrow money, give performance guarantees, indemnities and securities, and enter into any transaction. Whereas the Schedule 2 does not have that constraint.
Okay, thank you very much. I must say up front that the committee was still working on the next web committee and finalized. So we're not going to deal with the matter now. We'll come back and finalize. We're looking at the option as presented by TPE from the subcommittee meeting of yesterday and so on. So can we quickly jump to Section 12? The short time and commitment, which we agreed upon. Any comments? If none, one would like just to draw the attention of the House that yesterday there were certain clauses which we dealt with. Wanted the PPE to go back and make some of the wedding and some adjustments. They are contained on the one page document which was circulated today. I would just request Sandra just to take us through on those, starting from the PM, the second paragraph.
Yes, we were instructed by your committee to separate out the reference to specific projects of national importance into a separate paragraph. You recall that it was contained in paragraph 2. We recommend that we insert a new paragraph 3 reading since the state wants to ensure that the bandwidth requirements for specific projects of national interest are met, semicolon, and comma, and then
the second paragraph, not third,
the second, yes.
Remember, do we agree with the new insertion of the second paragraph under the preamble?
I'm missing from the second one.
So, I'll take it we agree. Can you go to the second one?
Actually, I should have raised that first. The point was made yesterday that we should also refer to the servitudes and additional rights in favor of Intraco in the long title, that we provide for servitudes and additional rights in favor of Intraco as well. We recommend that we insert that.
Remember, for that,
based on the same principle in 2.1d, that we, you will recall that we have only provided for the expropriation matter, that in 2.1d we then also refer to servitude and additional rights in favor of Indica.
Remember, you still have the right to participate so in the chairperson.
Chairperson, may I just put it, I've looked at all for the work, and I'm in agreement. That's the only reason I'm quiet. Not because of what the flying night. I didn't dream of this last night or think about it while I was doing it, but I made a very good point.
Thank you very much.
Chief, the last one was not necessarily an instruction from your committee, but based on a policy principle approved by your committee. It relates to section 3.1a, where we provided for the exclusion of licenses, where we refer to assets. We would like to recommend that we be specific in referring to licenses required to operate a private telecommunications network. You will recall that in discussions with yourselves, we've always explained that the DTN licenses of ESCOM and Transnet will not be transferred. We had a concern that the broader reference to licenses may include licenses that have nothing to do with the DTN and that could be transferred to Intraco. So we recommend that the wording be changed to read, excluding any licenses required to operate a private telecommunications network.
Member.
Agreed.
On behalf of the opposition also, I've got their names.
No, we always you were saying what is agreed upon?
Please.
You agree with the let's say in 1 day.
No, I think we were finally dealt with all the issues which wanted to deal with. But there are some few outstanding issues which we have to finalize. My assessment is that we are still on course to finalize the pillars which we wanted to. The first issue which is still outstanding is the issue of licensing. We remember that we are waiting cabinet to finalize that particular matter. The second one is the scheduling one, which I've said we are still applying our mind as a committee. We will refer back to that matter later when we are here with focusing on the check. There is the PITA one, the utility rate of return. That matter is still hanging.
me to find some
apply
his mind on that particular
matter. My mind didn't apply, I'm consulting.
Oh, I'm consulting. then they have told this today, he to say you need some work to those children. The first one is around the issue of six to from A to B, the entire. DCE and the chief state law advisors, they need to rework that one before one of the colleagues go to leave in Mongolia and so on. The second one is the new inserted for understanding the policy position. We requested that the Parliamentary Legal Services and DPE do some reworking about that particular clause so that we finalize it when we come there. Of course, the chair will expand. We got also the issue which is outstanding of the new chair and Infraco. But the chair will expand around that particular matter.
Look, basically, I think the co-chair summarized everything. I don't need to say. Just that one is we had asked Infraco and Neotel. I hope Neotel is listening. There's no point being here on the Neotel. She's not listening. One is we are very clear in the committee that the commercial agreements between the government and Neotel is not something in which the parliamentary committee can take initiative. It's an executive prerogative. Nor do we have the corporate lawyer, the technical capacity, frankly, to offer very useful advice. Parliament is not a court of law, but ultimately, hopefully, we better come to this. People have the right to, think. But we would hope, and that's what we're pleading with the department to do, is to ensure that Infraco and Neotel come to some agreement that's amicable, or reasonably amicable. Secondly, we don't want this bill to become contested because of the commercial agreement. Thirdly, we'd like this commercial agreement where it's possible to be consistent with the letter and spirit of this act of bill. Fourthly, we are saying that there is a process unfolding, and we hope that by next Wednesday, this negotiation with Infraco and Neotel will have been sorted out. Finally, we in our bill, at this stage, unless something urgent in the new term, do not see any need to look at our bill anew. We think the issues are commercial agreement issues. Unless somebody comes, they might come to one of the features, we're not going to the committee to discuss this. And present the case to us, but at this stage, there's nothing further we can do. Except to say that now, if talks in Parliament, depending on the unfolding negotiations, I will do a draft discussion this weekend, and even if you and we can work on it together. We will have a draft ready by Monday of our talk in Parliament. We will keep the Neotel paragraph empty. Then finally, to members, we may have to work with the, if the decision is to do it via schedule, we may have to work on the referral in continuing with the schedule, but that is something that's not in our hands. It's the availability of the Communications Committee and where they're going to chair this project. Then I think, in fairness, we must thank all the stakeholders for their contribution. As you will see, this committee has taken very seriously what you have said. Moreover, which is not again, which makes me not consistent in setting the rules of Parliament, we have allowed you to speak right till the last minute. In fact, today Michelle spoke and one or two of you spoke. Even Paris Machine was not entitled to speak in a committee after the conversation. No? He spoke in whenever he felt needed. So we've given everybody.
Again, I hope that we will be afforded the same privilege when we come to a task.
Yeah. You see, there's a really but the point about it all is that insofar as consultation of Parliament is concerned, I really think you must be fair to us. We have consulted with you till the last minute. And we are still open to you, but you can't bring up old issues. Or if you bring up old issues, you must have new reasons for that. So basically, what more can we do? some issues are outside of our responsibility, the executive problems. So, having said that, I would urge people who are flying in from Johannesburg or wherever you come from, there's no value except for the beauty of Cape Town for you to come anymore.
Yeah.
Next Wednesday, we'll be voting on the bill, and if you're worried that the case, that we're going to vote on something fundamentally different, but Nani will give you the copy we're going to vote on. So we'll either vote next Wednesday or next Friday, depending on licensing, depending on scheduling, and as the chairperson said, the utility pickup will sort out today, depending on the near-term commercial agreement, which is less important than the first two issues. So either next Wednesday or next Friday we'll vote. You can communicate with Bonani, Nani, who is flying in next Wednesday, we're going to vote on. Then procedural issues. I really think that on Friday we will have to stress, because now I personally am under pressure with the agreement that we secured with Fatima Chuan Kota. Fatima Chuan, sorry. She will finish all her bills for the bills before her committee by the 20th. So in this committee, I as chair of the committee have to also deliver to her a complete place of legislation. So we have to stress. Which means that on Friday we will sit from 9 to 1 o'clock in the open committee, and then the subcommittee will be 4 or 5. So I think we can use the whole day. I know many of them to leave at 1, but I'm thinking come in the morning, you can leave at 1. I will quickly protest this bill. You know, there's only now because of time constraints of co-chairs and so on. But I would like Peter, A, because it came some way, and B, because he protests himself single-handedly. Except that he jumped the last responsibility to be, let's not discuss that, of checking every clause. He processed the SAA vote. So I would like Peter to be at least here in the afternoon. So this is what I have one other
question. For the second, even not for the first.
Okay, let's get to it. No, he has to go to Kumalaga and he has to zoom in and he's going to Kumalaga. He keeps up the receivers in general. So we will sit till 5, 4 o'clock legally. Okay. Is there any procedural issue, Central? Your team that will come will deal with the SA Express Bond. I must plead with people to understand, it's an easy bond. It's a very easy bond. You understand
that all these stakeholders and everybody here, can they please feel free to write to the Muslim Nation Commission about how some members of parliament actually work.
You may have an everything on, you may access the Muslim Nation Commission on what the Muslim Nation Commission okay, no discussion about that. Are you going to raise Bonani that the secretaries of parliament also have to be taken into account? Okay, we agree.
It's not clear which bowl I'll be using on Saturday, Intraco or Saturday.
So it's
pretty
clear.
We didn't say which bowl. We didn't say just
think
from
9
to
5. Obviously, I took it that you realize that we're sick of this bowl. Finish the damn bowl. The chairperson has finished it. Eventually, summarize what the outstanding issues are. And hey, are you able to do it on all these outstanding issues? When you can finish it on Friday morning? No. So we said we will do it next Wednesday or next Friday. That's literal. The South African Express, whatever it's called or whatever, that's an easy bowl because it's very similar to the South African. There are no big policy issues. So unless you bust it up, the department, we should finish the thing in by next Friday too. And you'll sit through that if we have to, but I hope you've given us a call that, you know, I'm sure it's good.
Can I ask you, if you could make changes to the bill based on copying it, bring it like this,
I would like to check with you, this, for purposes of clarity, are we meeting this afternoon in such a political format or not?
It depends that you can deliver the ECA amendment. We can look at it, but can we negotiate that outside? There's only, let's talk about that. But apart from that, yeah. But we've got our own ANC meeting at 2 o'clock.
15 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, it's already 1 o'clock.
Yeah. 4 minutes.
Yeah. Okay.
I think the probability of that may be low, so I think I need to call you, and we will coordinate.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
One other thing that I want to check: when we come on Friday with SAT, as Peter indicated, would it then be in order that we come up with an art version based on what we've learned through this process on Friday?
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
We're making this on Friday.
Everything can go on Friday.
I'm going to go to the next one.